Well, we continue to listen to Luke's gospel. Some of those passages where Jesus is either teaching people how to pray, or Jesus is praying, or Jesus is talking about prayer. And we're just sort of looking at some of those. And I want to look again at the one we looked at last week, because there is so much in it. And that's Luke 11. It's the Lord's Prayer, as Luke tells it. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. O Lord, teach us to pray, and may our praying draw us so close to you that we will be changed into the people you would have us be. Amen. Last week, I spoke a little bit about how Jesus teaches us to begin our praying with two kind of images, ideas, concepts that don't exactly seem to match. The first is he begins by saying, when you pray, call God Father. When he says that, he's reminding us, you're children. You know, you have a father, you're a child. So he's saying, you're part of the family. When we pray, he said, I just want you to remember, you're part of the family. So we say, our Father. You know, I've noticed being around churches that the only times usually people get to church early to get the front row seats is when there's like a children's musical or a children's program. But because they want to be right up front, you know, so they can get a clear shot and get camera, maybe a place to put the tripod. And that's because parents, they're just crazy about their children. And it's the same way when at a children's program, when the kids get up on stage, that, you know, the first thing they do, you get a bunch of kindergartners up on stage for maybe their little production, you know, and they start looking and they see mother or dad or grandparents out there, and they start waving. I went to a kindergarten production once, and the teacher lined all the kids up on stage, the very first thing, and she said, "Okay, now wave." And so they all just waved, and she said, "Okay, we got that over now. Now we'll do what we're here to do." The band, they don't hardly ever wave, but anyway. God, Jesus says, is like one of those parents who's just crazy in love with the children or grandparents. Do anything for us. We're God's sons and daughters. And even having a poor earthly mother or father is something that God's parenthood can't be taken away from us. So Jesus says, when you pray, be at ease. This prayer is not a test. It's not a chore. Remember, the one you're praying to has a tender and compassionate heart toward you. You're one of God's own dear children. That becomes clear in Luke. We've already gotten that word when Jesus was baptized. In Luke, and in Matthew, when Jesus is baptized, the heavens open and this voice comes from heaven and it says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You know, if you're baptized, that's what your baptism means. That God is saying, "This is mine. I am well pleased. I like what I made." And so, on the one hand, Jesus says, when you pray, say, Father. But then he also gives us another idea that seems sort of to tug at that idea, and it's about the greatness of God. He says, keep God holy. God's name is holy. Holy means separate from. So he is saying God is not only good, but God is great. God is bigger than us. He is inexhaustible. God is beyond our comprehension. There is more that we will not ever figure out about God than we figure out about God. God is holy mystery. There's a lot about God that's hidden. People in the Bible are always learning that. There's that Moses story where Moses is minding his own business, tending his father-in-law's sheep, and he comes up on this burning bush, and this voice comes to him out of the bush, and it's God, and God says, Moses, I'm going to send you down to Egypt. You're going to go tell the Pharaoh to let my people go. And you're going to take my people out of slavery. And Moses comes up with a lot of good reasons why he shouldn't do that. And one of his reasons is, well, Lord, they're going to want to know who has sent me to them. So tell me your name. Who will I say sent me? And God won't give him his name. God doesn't tell everything about himself. And God says, you just tell them that I am. The one who is. You tell them I am has sent me to you. God won't give his name. Some years ago, I used to teach occasionally in university classes, religion classes, and occasionally I would have Orthodox Jewish students in there taking some of these introductory religion courses, and when they would write a paper, and it would have to use the word God, if they were Orthodox and observant, they would not write the word out, G-O-D. They would write a G, and then maybe a little underline, and a D, because they had been raised in among people that says, this name is so holy, we just don't go throwing that around. You don't write that name. Isn't that interesting? So Jesus teaches us that God is Father, holy be your name. So he's trying to get us to hold together these two ideas that God is loving, but God is different. It's hard for us in our minds to put together those things, but it's not hard for God. Well, here we get to this second part of the prayer, this second petition, and there are two more things that Jesus told us to try to hold together that don't seem like we could put them together. He tells us, pray, thy kingdom come. And then in Matthew, he adds that phrase, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He asks us to pray for the joining together, the uniting, the merging, the interlocking of heaven and earth. Now, if heaven is the realm or the arena of God, if heaven is God's space where God has it, God's way and God's future happens, and earth is our place, our space, where we live and where we have power and creativity. And if earth is where we're working on our futures, Jesus says, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The big good news that Jesus came to teach is that those two realms, heaven and earth, are merging. They interlock. They overlap. They're not as distinct as you think they might be. Jesus' main sermon was always, the kingdom of God is at hand. Or sometimes he would say, the kingdom of God is among you. In Matthew, he uses the phrase, kingdom of heaven. He says, the kingdom of heaven is in your midst. This idea that heaven and earth somehow are mingled is found on the first page of the book of Genesis. If you open the Genesis story, you see that God makes the earth, and then he takes some of that earth the dirt, the clay, and he shapes this human figure. Did you know that the word Adam is the same Hebrew word for earth or clay? We translate Adam as Adam. It's the same word. We probably ought to call him clay, because that's what it's about. God takes his clay, and then God breathes this breath into it, this spirit into it, and it becomes a living creature. Do you realize what the Bible is saying about you? It is saying that every one of us who has been created by God is this intersection of God's stuff and our stuff. Think about that. Heaven and earth all mixed up in us. Boy. The story moves on. You get a few chapters later and you get over in Genesis and there's this story of Jacob. Now, Jacob, the Bible makes no attempt to hide the fact that Jacob is a crook. He is a scoundrel. If Jacob's around, you better hold on to your purse and your wallet. In the story, Jacob is the second born, and the firstborn always inherits twice as much. And his older brother is Esau, his twins, born just a little bit before him. And so their father is on his deathbed. He is blind. He can't see. And Jacob disguises himself as his hairy brother Esau. Esau was real hairy, the Bible says. Jacob was smooth. So he puts these animal skins and Esau was a hunter. Always smelled like the outdoors and the field. So he puts on one of his old robes and he goes into his blind father. And his father said, "Well, see, you say you're Esau, but you sound like Jacob, but you smell like Esau." He says, "I'm Esau." He's lying. And he persuades his father, who's dying, to give the blessing to him instead of the older brother, which means he will inherit twice as much. Well, he's a thief. He's a scoundrel. He does that, and then he wakes up and he realizes, my big brother Esau is the hunter in the family. He's the one who collects knives and bows and arrows. And he's the one who knows how to field dress game. I had better get out of here. And so Jacob leaves. He runs and he gets out into the wilderness. And he's on the run. And he lays down at night to go to sleep. And he puts his head on a rock out in the outdoors. And he has a dream. And in this dream, he sees this ladder or stairway going up to heaven and coming down to heaven. And there's angels going up and angels coming down. And he has this dream and he wakes up the next morning and he says, surely the presence of the Lord was in this place. And I didn't even know it. He realized that place where he was a place where heaven and earth intersected. And of course, what the Bible is going to teach us is that everywhere is a place where heaven and earth intersect. The whole earth is shot through with heaven. Flip over to the last page of the Scriptures. The book of Revelation, chapter 21, the final vision that John has of what God is up to and how God is bringing this thing to its completion. In Revelation 21, you might be surprised. The final vision of God is not God snatching people up from earth to heaven. That's not what it talks about. In Revelation 21, the holy city, the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem, comes down from heaven to earth. The movement is from heaven down. And John says, here's this voice, and the voice from heaven says, now the dwelling of God is with His people, and He will live with them. They will be His people. God Himself will be with them. God will be there and be their God. What God is up to is joining His space and our space. Heaven and earth are being joined. Married is the word that passage will use. So get back to the Lord's Prayer. It may surprise you that Jesus does not ask us to pray to go to heaven. He says something very different. He says, pray, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says, what you want to pray for is not to be snatched away to heaven. You want to pray that this whole earth will be infused with heaven and that you will see it. He says, pray for the very annexation of earth by heaven, that the two are mingled. Heaven interpenetrates. I don't even know if that's a word, interpenetrates. It ought to be. We just made one up if it's not. But it permeates and it will change the world. He's saying, pray that more and more you will see that surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. We sing about it at Christmas. We sing about Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Jesus himself, what is Jesus? Well, he is the one who is fully human and fully divine. We can't figure out. We think you got to be one or the other. But Christian orthodoxy says, no, he's both at once. That's a mystery. We don't get it, but God says, well, I'm God. You don't get everything. The Word becomes flesh. You know, the Holy Spirit gets incarnated, mixed in with flesh. Jesus is daring us to see that God's Spirit is streaming into the world. Jesus begins his ministry by saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is among you, he'll say. The kingdom of God is in your midst. He'll say, see it? Wake up to it. A lot of times Jesus says, wake up, wake up. He tells the disciples at one point, can you just stay awake? Can you wake up and see what's going on? Jesus sees the presence of God woven through everything. Jesus looks at some little seed, mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like the kingdom. He looks at a plant growing. He says, it's like the kingdom of God. He looks at the lilies of the field, the birds of the air. He said, that's a bit of it. He looks at this generosity of a landowner who pays the people he hired at 6 in the morning, same as those he hired at 5 in the evening. This abundance of generosity. And he says, yeah, that's a little bit of heaven mixed in there. He sees the long-suffering father who has these two lost sons, and he wants to bring them in to the party, the barbecue, the celebration. He said, that's it. He sees a poor widow who gives away everything she has up at the temple, the last 2 cents. He said, that's it. Do you see it? Everywhere he looks, he sees God. Jesus even looks at sinners and sees God in them. Most people looked at the prostitutes and they looked at the tax collectors and they looked at all kinds of scoundrels and they said, they know God in them. In fact, they're without God. But Jesus, he sees something of God in them. Jesus could look at foreigners. You know, that's why we've got that story of the good Samaritan. He sees a Samaritan that's got some God in him. And he sees people from Tyre and Sidon, which was in Lebanon. And he sees people from the Decapolis, which was the 10 cities in Syria and Jordan. He looks at a foreign officer of the Roman occupation, a centurion. He says, yeah, he's got it. He sees God at work. Jesus says that children see it easier than adults. He says that sinners tend to see it easier than good and pious religious people. He says that the poor can usually see it easier than the rich. They've got other things that distract them. And he says even those who mourn will probably see it better than those who have got their life all together. This prayer Jesus gives us is a prayer asking God to wake us up so that we will perceive the very presence of God in our midst, that we'll understand there is a holy atmosphere around us, that God's heaven is changing earth's environment, that there is a divine climate around us. He's talking about this holy nearness of God and this mysterious fullness of God. He wants us to rejoice and to say, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Jesus even says that the final exam in life will in fact be a test on how well we can see the Holy One present among us. It's a story that comes from Matthew. You remember the story? It says the king will at the end line up everybody, the nations, and he will separate them as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. He puts the sheep on his right hand, the goats on his left, and he says to the ones on the right, come into the eternal kingdom prepared for you since the beginning of time. And he says to the goats, depart from me. And the people that get in don't quite understand why they're in. And he says, you're in because when I was hungry, you gave me food. And when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was in prison, you came to see me. When I was naked, you gave me some clothes. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. And they scratched their heads. And they said, when did we see that? We don't remember seeing you. And he said, when you did it to one of the least of these, when you did it to the stranger, to the prisoner, to the hungry, to the thirsty, to the poor and to the sick, when you did it to them, you were doing it to me. You responded to the God that's in them. Well, this prayer is astonishing. Thy kingdom come. It's a prayer that God will help us see what God is up to. And what God is up to is something that is really, really good, because it is nothing less than the annexation of planet Earth by God, by heaven. And when we see what God is up to, well, then we can't treat anybody like we treated them before. Because if we're a dear child of God, and we call God Father, Jesus does this thing to us. Jesus is our prayer master. He's the master of prayer. He teaches us how to pray, but he's sly. And I'll even say he's tricky, because he says, I want you to say it this way, our Father. All of the pronouns in the Lord's Prayer are plural. Our Father, give us. You see what he's done? He doesn't say, pray, my Father. No, he tells me, pray, our Father. To pray, thy kingdom come, is to pray to move into heaven as something of a present reality and a present possibility now. As Paul says it, Paul speaks about those being in Christ, and then he also speaks about Christ coming to life in us. That mixing up of heavenly things and earthly things. Well, there was a famous teacher of the spiritual life, a woman called Catherine. She came to be called Saint Catherine of Siena in Italy. And centuries ago, she said this. She said, all the way to heaven is heaven. The kingdom is in your midst. It's among you. And Jesus says, pray for eyes to see it. Pray for eyes to see what is already there. The time is full, Jesus said. The kingdom of heaven is here. Be awake and be changed. The kingdom is among you. It's not mainly in some far-off future. It's not mainly in some far-off galaxy. It is not even a reward for all of your good deeds. But it's right here and right now. And it is a gift freely given. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would give us eyes to see. Open our hearts, open our eyes to the wonders of your presence among us. Help us to see you in this creation you've made and in all of these people you have given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. It is so good for us to worship together. And I don't know if you know it, but we're a mix of folks, and it is good we're here. There's usually people here every time we worship, first time they've found their way here. We're so glad we can worship together. There are people who are members of this church and people who aren't members of this church, and that's fine. If you're not a member, you can have anything we got. you're welcome to it. But I always like to offer the invitation for those who might like to become members and to officially, you know, so I want to be a part of this group of people who is striving to learn how to pray and to learn how to serve and learn how to praise. The invitation is offered any Sunday, but it's offered today. If there are those who would like to officially become part of this church, I invite you to come find me as we sing the last hymn or speak to me at some point. We'd be glad to arrange that. Shall we sing together to God? Beloved people of God, beloved sons and daughters of God, go into the world with peace, with eyes wide open to the mercies of God. And go in His power, go in His love. Go in the name of God we love, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen.